We're on page 3, if you need an outline of the spiritual gift outline, spiritual gifts, and before I get started, does anybody need that? And I hope you notice we're scrupulously staying to the outline, we've been pretty close. Now, what we've been doing is looking at, hello there. Where I come from, we used to say, look what the dog's dragged in. But we won't say that this morning. We've been looking at spiritual gifts, and we're specifically looking at Paul. If you'll turn to this, Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. Now, one of the things I'm trying to emphasize, I'm walking a line here. You have in Christendom, you have people that overemphasize Paul. And in fact, the hyper-dispensationalists, there used to be a whole enclave of them down in Salem. I don't know if they're still there. Will say, and this is what we get accused of, but I'm telling you they're wrong, so don't accuse me of being that. They'll say that there are two churches. There's the church to Israel, and then about mid, they vary whether it's Acts 9 or Acts 15. They say then there's a second church, that's to the Gentiles, and then they will only adhere to the Pauline epistles and anything written by Paul as far as New Testament truth. And then you have the other people on the other side that say, well, Paul's not a special apostle. We're not even sure he's an apostle, because didn't they vote for the 12th apostle back there in Acts, the 1st chapter? So what are you doing, adding a 13th apostle? And Christ himself says there's 12 apostles. In fact, they're called the 12. And so we're fighting, and if you hear the way we're defining it, we're fighting the people that just want to use Paul, and we're saying, and then we're also fighting the people that don't want to say that Paul has a special role, because that won't allow them to go back to the Old Testament and misuse it. So we're right here in the middle. We're right here where Scripture is, and we're saying Paul had all, well, let's keep your finger in Ephesians 2, but turn back one page to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, and you'll see that apostles is in the plural in the 20th verse, and it's just talking about the household of God, the last part of verse 19, are being built upon the foundation from the apostles, plural, and from the prophets, plural. Those are New Testament apostles, New Testament prophets. So we spent a lot of time showing you that there were 12 apostles to Israel. There are 12 apostles to the church. Paul is one of the 12 apostles to the church. Now, Paul had a special role to the church. He's the one that gives. Now, remember with the word steward. The word steward means that somebody's in charge. Christ is the Lord. This is in Luke 1. Or 16, 1 through 4, and Luke 12, 42 and 43. There's a Lord in charge, there's a steward, and that steward has a realm of authority which is called a dispensation. Stewardship and dispensation are the same word in the original. Now, Paul is the steward of our manner of life. Ephesians 3, 2. Since you have heard regarding the dispensation characterized by grace from God, which was given to me, Paul, to you all. We go back to verse 1, you all is the church, not just Ephesus. So Paul is going to give the way of life that you live, and we're going to show specifically today in how to mature spiritually. He is not in charge of salvation. Remember apostles? Remember that? So Paul doesn't have a rule over salvation. Everybody confuses dispensations with manner of salvation. It's not. Under the law, you could obey the law, except the 10th commandment, da-da-da-da-da. And then when you messed up on the 10th commandment, you could go do some sacrifices, take care of that, and you still wouldn't be saved. So the dispensation doesn't save you. The dispensation is for a household, a rule of a household. How you, when you're saved, you become part of the household, then you got rules. The rules are not how to get into the household. So in Ephesians 3:2, when Paul says he's the steward of the dispensation of grace, which we find over in 1 Timothy 1:4, the full name is the dispensation of grace, the one by faith. Grace and faith are harmonious terms. Not the same. They're not synonyms, but they're harmonious. So Paul's in charge of a manner of life. Now, keep in mind the idea, and we spent a lot of time on this. You can get this here in Ephesians 3. You can get this in Colossians, the first chapter. You can get it in Romans 16, where we're going. That a mystery, now he calls this a mystery. Let's go down to verse 9 of the third chapter. Bringing, now you have in the King James, they really messed this verse up. In the King James they have, and to make men, and you see men is italicized, what it should see, to make all men see. Verse 9 should start out this way. To bring to light, this is, to bring to light should be the start of that verse. This is talking about illumination. After you're saved, to bring to light what is the dispensation, they translated fellowship, of the quality of a mystery, which from the ages, that would be spirit beings, had been hidden by God, who created all things in Jesus Christ. Now, look at the fifth word in verse 10. But to the intent that now, but now, down in the last part of verse 10, is made known the multiple, many-aspect wisdom from God. So here's a mystery. We can get the definition here. A mystery, the way Paul and John use it, is in the Old Testament, I'm just going to tell it like a T-I-S-T. In the Old Testament, nobody had a clue. When Paul reveals the mysteries, he's got 12 of them, one of which is a dispensation. We just saw that here. When Paul reveals the mystery, verse 10, they are no longer mysteries. Mystery does not mean mystic. It does not mean esoteric. It doesn't mean hard to understand the ways of God. No, it means that it was something that was hidden in the Old Testament. So if Paul says he's the steward of the mystery of the dispensation of grace, and that stewardship has to do with our manner of life. Can I go to the Old Testament and get my manner of life? No. If you do, tear out Ephesians, the third chapter, and a couple other chapters we'll look at. Now, this is all review. The next concept we've looked at was the idea of gospel. Now, most people, when they refer to gospel, gospel meaning good news. And by the way, there's also a verb that means to gospelize. So the word evangelist means tell the good news. That'd be a noun. But there's also a verb that's a good news. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says something about the gospel which I gospelize to you. First verse. Second verse, this is what saves you. Third verse, the content of that gospel. Third and fourth verses. Fifth verse is not part of the gospel. If it is, we'll talk later in your mind. We have to have a serious talk about your membership and a few other things. Okay, membership into the household. Okay. Now, the word gospel then just simply means good news. But there are many, depending on how you list it, I wouldn't get in an argument about, there's either 16 to 20, but I got 18. Some might be repetitious. Gospels in the New Testament. Most of the time when people are talking about the gospel of Christ, they're talking about Christians. You're talking about the gospel to be saved. Now, I'm going to say something. We'll be proving this for weeks to come. most of the time when Paul uses the word gospel, most of the time, he's talking about not the gospel for salvation, but the gospel for maturity. Now, I'll show you that later, but let me show you, prove to you there's other gospels, because you'll need that in your mind. Turn to 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. In 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, Paul is defending his I love this, because this has to do with spiritual gift. Paul is defending his role, his spiritual gift of apostleship, and he's having to defend it to the Corinthians who are being duped by some false apostles that are so good. The Corinthians, who are carnal, collectively carnal Christians, but they are saved, or they're all saved, they're mostly saved, but there seems to be a few that are still spiritual, because that's who rats on to Paul. But anyway, these carnal Christians are so duped by false apostles, they think the false apostles are the real ones, and Paul's the fake one. That's the context. So the false apostles are coming in and preaching in verse 1 and 2 this other kind of Jesus. Now, the word, the name Jesus is important because it stresses his humanity. Still deity, but his humanity. And I'm going to tell you, anytime you hear a preacher, all that he can talk about is the Gospels and Christ's earthly ministry. Let me do that right. And Jesus' earthly, you realize he was named Jesus at birth. And he really doesn't become the Christ until, which means different then than it does now, until John the Baptizer goes out in Matthew 3. And then the Christ doesn't really mean what we know it to mean now, the glorified and risen one, until Matthew 16, when Christ starts predicting the church, where he transitionalizes from the Messiah to the head of the church. Now, having said all that, in 2 Corinthians 11, these false apostles are leading. Now, watch. This is a wrong statement, and I'm trying to preface it that way. These false apostles are, quote, leading people of the Lord by Christ's earthly ministry. What you cannot do. Show me where Christ, Jesus, let's do it right. Show me where Jesus gives the plan of salvation for today and during the Gospels. It ain't there. So now look down at verse 4. And the 2 Corinthians 11. And the one coming declares with authority another of the same sort of Jesus. So they tweak Jesus. Do I enjoy reading about Jesus' earthly ministry? Yes, it's part of the Bible. Yes, it's in a historical account. Yes, it proves he's the perfect sacrifice. Yes, it proves his impeccability. Yes, it proves his obedience to the Father. But his earthly ministry is not a Christian ministry. His ministry to me starts at the cross. Whom we have not preached, back to verse 4. I've been told that I go back to verses and don't tell you. So now I'm telling you. Back to verse 4, chapter 11, 2 Corinthians. Whom we have not declared with authority. So they're preaching Jesus differently. Or who you, and they have received. Now this is a different word for other. This is heteron, heteros, which means another of a different kind of spirit. If you mark in your Bible, you can put Satan there. Which spirit, ellipsis, you have not received, because they received the Holy Spirit, capital S. Or they didn't receive another of a different gospel. So if there's another of a different gospel, that's at least a second gospel, isn't it? So in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, we have the gospel for salvation. In 2 Corinthians 11, 4, we have the gospel to not be saved. Right? Just showed it to you. Did I just show you there's another of a different kind of gospel? Yeah. Okay. So that gospel would be good news for unsaved people that want to stay unsaved. I should mention, good news is a relative thing. I'm going to show you that in the book of Revelation now. The good news for salvation is good news for those that receive it. It's not good news for those that reject it. Well, you read Matthew 11 where Jesus says, woe unto Bethsaida and starts with a C.
Chorazin,
yeah. That you're going to, basically, he says, you're going to get a whole lot more heat than Sodom and Gomorrah when the judgment comes, because they rejected all of the miracles that he did in front of them. More enlightenment, more punishment. So the gospel, the good news, is good news for those that believe. I'm setting you up for Revelation. It's bad news, really, for those that reject it. Now, having proved that, let's go over to the book of Revelation. I think we can get this. It's on the left hand. I think it's about 14. No? It's when you, it's the, I know it's on the left hand side of the page. I just didn't write it down. Pardon me? There it is. It is 14. It's sad when you're looking right at the verse and you don't see it. Okay, first Revelation 14, verse 6. Now this is in the we're right here in the tribulation, and this is the second half of the tribulation. And I'm in Revelation 14, 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the eternal gospel to preach. Oh, that means he's good as tell people to be saved, right? Unto them that dwell on the earth. So this is for people on earth. Also to every nation, kindred, and language, and people, saying in a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of judgment is come. And the worship of him that made heavens and the sea and foundation of the water. Now go down to chapter 16, verse 9. I'll tell you what this judgment is. And the men were scourged with great heat and blaspheming the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not of his glory. Go over to verse 11. And they blasphemed the God of the heavens because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. So I would say that this good news, this eternal gospel, is good news for the saints that are getting revenge on those that have caused them problems. I don't think this is good news for the nations. Do you? Does anybody think that? No. So this is another gospel. This is a gospel that is not of salvation. This is a gospel of judgment. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is there are many gospels in Scripture. Now, here's our list. Sound like there's a commentator on the radio. I can't stand to listen to him because he's always going through these cotton picking lists, and I'm getting so I got them memorized, and then I don't want to hear him say the same thing I already know he's going to say. But here's our list. If we see life, we want to know if that's physical life or spiritual life. If we see if it's spiritual life, is that resurrection life or eternal life? If we see death, we want to know if that's physical death or spiritual death. If we see some other things, but today, the emphasis is that if you see the word gospel, primarily in the Pauline epistles, there might be an exception, I haven't really gone through it completely yet, but primarily when we see Paul use the word gospel after today, I want you to look and say in your mind, is this the gospel for salvation? Now, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, yes. I'll give you another clue. Romans 1, 16, yes, gospel for salvation. Now, after today, when you see him use the word gospel, I want you to think, is that the gospel for maturity? Let's go to Romans 16. Now, while we go to Romans 16, let's remember what a mystery is. Romans, the 16th chapter. This all has to do with Paul's role. Paul's role is not everything in the dispensation of grace. Paul's role is the realm of authority, is our daily life, how to mature spiritually. Now, it works out, he laid all the foundation, and I'm going to get ahead of myself here a little bit. James adds a little from a little different angle because Paul had taught him. John will add significantly in an area of fellowship, sharing in common with the Father, and relationships with both the Father and the Son. And Peter will add in, let's put it this way, Paul draws the tree, and Peter, John, and James, and Jude will add some leaves to it, but they're not going to construct the tree. Who constructs the tree? Paul. That's in a figure of speech. Now we're over in Romans, the 16th chapter. The when we get down into the first this first line of the 25th verse, the word establish has the idea of make firm. It has the idea of setting the foundation, not necessarily in a building. It has the idea of fixity, something that's stable. Has the idea of mental settledness. It's going to, we'll see, or stable. All of those terms go together, which I'm going to say maturity. Now, I was wrong. I want to correct myself. I said it was Philippians, the first chapter. It's actually the third chapter of Philippians, where Paul shows that nobody's completely mature, that it's a quest, it's a process. And that's in the third chapter of Philippians. So when we talk about maturity, it's a relative growth. And remember, we measure ourselves against ourselves. Am I a more stable Christian this year than I was last year? If the answer is no, you better start listening a little bit better and doing what the word says. If the answer is yes, then continue. That's called spiritual growth. And it shouldn't stop until your body's room temperature. Or as I've come to know recently, actually some people leave before they leave, if you know what I mean. Okay, Romans the 16th chapter and the 25th verse. So the word established means to make firm. I'm going to summarize these two verses by the word maturity. I'm not violating scripture. I know exactly what I'm doing. Romans 16:24. Now to him that has, now who would that be? Who would the him? You know how to trace your pronouns. You go, the pronoun usually, not always, goes back to the first proper noun that precedes it. That's called the antecedent of a pronoun. So what person of the Godhead precedes the him in verse, I'm teaching you how to read the Bible. What person of the Godhead precedes verse 25? Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Okay, so I just want you to see how we come at these. Okay, verse 25. Now to Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's important, all three names, that has the inherent power. That this word for power has the means the ability. In English, we translate this to the word can. Can you do that? You know, let me stress that. Yeah, like in school, the kids used to always say, Mr. Schaefer, can I go to the bathroom? I said, you can, but what you mean is, may I? Everybody can. That has the ability, I hope, unless there's a problem. But may, we get, people don't understand. This is the word for can, it means ability. Now unto him that has the ability, that can establish or make you firm. Now the you there is Christians, because you've read the first chapter and the first couple verses of this letter. According to my gospel. Now this isn't, keep your finger here and go with me over to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and the first verse. Do you see what's right in front of gospel? It's the. Now remember, I've tried to teach you. In the original language, the word the, which we would in the English, can be used as a near demonstrative. This specific gospel. Back over to Romans 16, verse 25. It doesn't say the gospel. The reason he says my gospel is he's changing it. I'll show you what he's changing it from. Go back to the first chapter of Romans. And the 16th verse, this is a different gospel. Romans, the 16th, the first chapter and the 16th verse, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, the specific gospel. You have in the Bible, Christ, but I don't think it should be there. Doesn't matter. It won't change what we're doing, but it's very poor textual support. The gospel, specific gospel, for it is the inherent power. It has the ability from God unto salvation. So which gospel is the gospel he's talking about there? That's the salvation gospel. Now when he comes over to the 16th chapter, when he says my gospel, the gospel for salvation isn't Paul's. I just showed you. In the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, it's all the apostles and prophets and the first generation of, or, and then all the evangelists too. We'll get to that. Back over to the 16th chapter. That's why it's my gospel. Be careful with my gospel, because he's going to have a my gospel over in 1st or 2nd Timothy. But it's in a different context than what he's telling Timothy. Knock it off. Quit leaving out the resurrection. And so since it's the resurrection, we know it's the gospel for salvation. So here he's changing it from the first chapter. Romans 16:24. Now to him that has the inherent power, the ability to make you firm, to establish. This word establish, I failed to mention, has the idea of standing firm. It has, if you take it apart, it has the word stand right in it. Make you firm according to my gospel and the declaring with authority of Jesus Christ. Now, watch this. According to the revelation from the mystery. Well, this isn't the same gospel then that Peter tells you about in the second chapter of Acts, because this comes directly from Jesus Christ after Acts 9. This is, remember we told you back over in the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts, 23rd verse, it's up there. Let me get that exact. That when Christ appeared to Paul, he was going to keep on appearing to him. I got to get that verse in my mind better. No, it's not the 22nd. It must be the 26th. It's the 26th chapter of Acts and the 16th verse. Where when on the road to Damascus, Christ tells Paul, I'm appearing to you now and I'm going to keep on appearing to you. Well, and then he appears to him for 3 weeks, 3 years down in the Arabian desert. Well, while he was doing that, he revealed directly to Paul. There's a verse I'm thinking of. It's going to come to me in a minute. But I'll tell you what it says, and then I'll get you the citation. It says that the apostles were taught by the Holy Spirit. This is a different person teaching Paul. That's important. This is his. So if it's Christ teaching him, it's different or beyond, not different. It's beyond what the other apostles knew. Okay, right in the middle of verse 25, Romans 16. According to the revelation, that's direct revelation from Christ, from the mystery. Now remember, a mystery is something that nobody knew until Paul is revealed to Paul, and once Paul reveals it, it's no longer a mystery. Which was kept secret from, this is an interesting phrase, we could spend some time on this, but we won't, from times of eternity. And what, never mind. We won't get involved with that. No, it's time from eternities, which means there's eternity on both sides of time. Verse 26, but now, there's our word now. But now the word manifest is just a fancy word for made plain, but now is made plain by the scriptures and the prophets. Now, that's what it says in the King James. It said should say, by prophetic writings. That's Paul. He's talking about his own writings. But now is made plain by prophetic writings. According to the commandment of the eternal God, made experientially known to the Gentiles for the obedience. Now this is an important phrase. Obedience from faith. So what Paul is saying here is that he got direct revelation from God. That revelation from God, he's going to give to New Testament saints, and that revelation from God tells New Testament saints how they can mature spiritually. Or if you're from New England, mature. I looked at, one time I was a ring steward at a dog show, and they had the maturities, and I pronounced the word maturity males, or dogs come up, and a guy from New York, had to be from New York, you knew that. Maturity, nobody talks like it. It's maturity. Okay, so whatever you want. It's the gospel for maturity if you're from the West. That summarizes this gospel. Now I'm going to show you from Scripture. This is kind of on the edge here, but I'm going to show you from Scripture. This is the one gospel you can give up and still be saved. I'm not suggesting you give this up. It can get hurtful. But it is the one gospel you can give up. Now, I showed you, before we go there, there's the gospel for salvation, and there's another gospel for salvation that's the wrong gospel. Showed you that, another of a different kind. Now I'm going to show you that there's, Paul calls it my gospel for maturity, but I'm going to show you from Scripture that there's another of a different kind of gospel that's wrong to mature. Okay, let's go to Galatians, the first chapter. Galatians, the first chapter. And we want to look at the 6th through 8th verses. And watch how I translate this. I marvel that you so quickly... the word moved has the idea of made a change. And the word from is away from. There's different words for from it. One is for source. This is the away from him. And the him here probably goes back to the Father, because you have him in verse 4. And you have Christ mentioned successively later on in the verse. So let's start over. I marvel that you so quickly made a move or changed from him, probably God the Father there, that called, it is the Father that calls you. Remember, let's stop there. That's over in Romans 8. The word called in Scripture, this is where churches get it wrong, so I'm going to stop and get it right. Most churches say you were called to the ministry. If you've been around me, every Christian's a full-time minister. So that's a bunch of baloney. Called is always initial salvation. Every one of you were called to full-time Christian life, whether you acted or not. Okay. I marvel that you so quickly made a change, moved away from, on your part, that's a middle passive, from him, probably God the Father, that called you by, not into, by the grace from Christ to another of a different gospel. So there's our third gospel we've looked at today. Remember, in the original language, there's two words for another. There's one that means another of the same sort, and there's another one that means hetero. It means the other of a different kind. So unto another of a different kind of gospel, which is a not, didn't understand what he's saying, that it's a different gospel? Verse 7, which is not another of the same sort of gospel. The word gospel is an ellipsis there. But there is some that trouble you that would pervert. Now the word pervert means it's not just a heresy. Perversion means denial of absolute truth in Scripture. It's not the... Let's stop and dissect that. Heresy means to take Scripture and misapply it. You don't deny the resurrection, you just put it in a different place. You don't deny the rapture, you just say it's after the tribulation. And you know how I feel about them folk. If they want to go through the tribulation, I'm going to let them. But perversion means denial of Scripture. So to get this other of a different gospel to mature, you absolutely have to deny Scripture. What's one thing we've already learned today you'd have to deny? Paul's teaching that the way of life for the New Testament saint is not in the Old Testament. If you deny that, you're denying what Paul taught, Paul and the Holy Spirit taught, and it's perversion. Let's keep going. That's satanic. That's the reason they're making the distinction. Heresy is flesh. Perversion is satanic. And last part of verse, let's start with verse 7 again. Which is not another of the same sort of gospel. It's not even similar. But that there would be some that trouble you and would pervert, that means deny, the gospel from the Christ. Even though we were an angel, and if he did this, he'd be a demon, so you can be a fallen angel, hypothetically here, from heaven, and gospelize, there's our verb for gospel, any alongside gospel, this is the third word here, unto you, then that which we have previously preached unto you, let him be accursed. And the word accursed there, if you have a marginal rendering, it means to be nullified. So what he's saying here is that the people have come, and we know by reading the book of Galatians what they come in and saying, you know, under the law, you could show righteousness to men. So what we ought to do is we ought to not only go under the law, but let's make up some more stuff. That's what people always do. Can't mow your lawn on Sunday, even though Sunday's not the Sabbath. All kinds of strange things. And can't play cards. Well, you can play Old Maid, but you can't play them when they have kings and jacks. I got a licking for that once. And a licking wasn't with a tongue. Maybe the tongue of a belt. They say they have another of alongside gospel that you have received. So these guys knew better. And they're going to let these people come in and tell them, you know, there was righteousness. See, you thought I forgot where it was. There was righteousness under the law before men. But we're going to take it one step forward. This is the perversion of Galatians. You need to know this. Not only can the law have a righteousness before men, but you can make now because we, this is perversion. We think if you add to the law just a little bit and take some of it away because you can't really do that. And Paul in the third chapter says you can't just take part of the law. You got to take all the law. But just listen to me. I'm telling you a good story here. And if you just do what we say, you can be righteous before God. You don't have to follow what Paul's saying. You can do it. And you can be righteous before God. That's their other, I'm kind of summarizing six chapters. That's their other gospel of the say of a different kind that's not even close. He does it three different ways. He says it's another of a different kind of gospel. He says it's not the gospel of the same kind. And then he says it's a gospel that's alongside the true gospel. And this is the gospel for maturity. Because what did we see back in verse 6? They gave it up, but if you look back at verses 1 and 2, they're still saved. Calls them brethren in verse 2. Okay? Different. Now, this is, so, here's another word. You see apostle in the New Testament? New Testament apostle or apostles to church? Death, life, we have already covered that. Now, gospel. All of them require understanding the context of what you're reading it. Now, I'm going to tell you, with Paul, you primarily will, there's a couple exceptions. We were not going to get there now. I just came to mind. Primarily, he's going to be talking about the gospel for maturity. Based on Ephesians 3 and Romans, the 16th chapter, why would he spend most of his time talking about the gospel for maturity? Well, duh, that's his stewardship. That's the stewardship that Paul has over grace. Now, does Paul exclusively own that? No, once he dispenses that information, it's no longer a mystery. But Paul was the, let's go back to Adam and Eve. Once Adam tells Eve, don't eat of that tree, now that's her responsibility. She doesn't have to, Adam have to keep telling her. And if they'd had children that were that had not fallen, Eve could have told them, because the area of authority has already been dispensed. It's already done. Now, very quickly, I think we got time for this. Turn over to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and the 10th and 11th verses. I haven't covered the 11th verse before. Now, what I'm going to do now, figuratively, I'm going to take a hammer and I'm going to pound in your head that there's only one spiritual gift. After I do that, then I'm going to show you an exception to that rule. Now, the reason we're going to do it that way is because what we're showing you is God makes the rules. And if we show you an exception to the rule that God makes, then that proves he's the rule maker. Now, if anybody ever messes with you about spiritual, I have the spiritual gift of music. What are some of them? I forget all of them. Spiritual gift of friendliness. There's all kinds of silly stuff. We're going to give you a list of them. I think on page 3 you have a list of the intermediate or. By the way, that's the one time you can use the word trans, and it's a good word. The transitional gifts. I think I gave them a list on page 3. 1 Peter 4:10 is where you go to prove that there's one spiritual gift. Now, we're going to get a little grammatical here. There's two grammatical points that I want to make that prove, from a grammatical point of view, you have one spiritual gift. So stay with me on this. I saw a thing on the net. My English teacher in high school is still alive, believe it or not. He must be 110 years old. And I remember him teaching me these kinds of things. 1 Peter 4:10. As each one received, that's an aorist, at a point in time. Now you have in your King James, it should be a gift. Now I'm going to ask you this. You got it in the English. Is gift singular or plural? And all of God's people said, it's singular. And Darnell said plural. Even so, serve with it. Now you see the word same in the English? That's the word it. But it means the same. It should be translated it. Now what do you think grammatically the it is? Is it singular or plural? It's singular. So let's do it this way. As each one received at a point in time. When would that be? 1 Corinthians 12:12-13, at the point of salvation when you're baptized in the body of Christ. Okay, received at a point in time a specific one, not a specific, a singular gift. Even so, serve with it one gift to yourselves as honorable stewards. Now, you see the word as? I've been drumming in your head for a month that Paul's a steward. We're not stewards. Because you see the word as? If I say you're eating like a pig, you're not a pig. Well, maybe not. But you have something in common. Now, why are we to use our gift as good stewards? Because we use it for the household. Who's the household? The body of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 12. As good stewards of a manifold grace from God. Now, in verse 11 is going to tell you two kinds of gifts. Since each one speaks, this word speak, I would, speak, let him speak, I think that's a good ellipsis there, as with little words or utterances. Oracles is a little mystical, but the concept here is if you have a speaking gift, be careful. You're not speaking for yourself, you're speaking for God. And if you think you're speaking for God and you're speaking for yourself, you're doing it wrong. That's the concept. If each one speak, let him speak as little words, utterances from God. If any man minister, now minister has the idea of doing things physically, let him do it as the ability, this word for ability has the idea of in concert, like in a chorus, being in, this idea, let me tell you what this wouldn't be. This idea that they translate ability is the idea that if you put me in the choir, I'd stand out. I wouldn't be in harmony. That has the idea of being in harmony and in unity. It's a vocal thing. In with the, let's translate it, being in chorus, which God gives, and God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, for whom be praise and manifest power into the age from the ages, I believe. So here we have in verse 11 says basically there's two kinds of gifts. There's speaking gifts and there's ministering gifts. Now all gifts require some kind of communication, but if you had the, some of them are more behind the scenes and they're speaking gifts. But the main point we went here for, and we'll stop with this because we're going to pick up next week with Timothy's two gifts, is driving home grammatically this verse, 1 Peter 4:10, proves everybody has one gift. One gift. Now remember, we spent a lot of time, we went through the Gospels, and we showed you that the parable of the talents that should be translated money. And if you make that it's not talents at all. We went through every tomfoolery that people have done and misused and showed you that that's, that it holds as one gift. Now, so here's what we want to end with. The rule is God gives, all three persons are involved, gives us one spiritual gift. He made the rule and he's going to make an exception. Now, the reason I'm going to show you the exception is because that exception proves, if you can make an exception to rules and get away with it, that proves that you're the rule maker. And we'll prove that next week with Timothy. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We appreciate the role that you had Paul in as the apostle who gave us the truth by which we are to live by, to mature and to reflect that glory that your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ has. And we thank you for that. Amen.